Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
Good afternoon and welcome everybody to this Friday edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I'm the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we are talking about America under siege, America burning from coast to coast. Earlier today, in Europe, French President Emmanuel Macron tweeted this: "In all crises, an old world disappears and a new one appears. This crisis can be an opportunity. Our goal with the recovery plan, that France and Europe play their full part in the invention of the world after." Emmanuel Macron is calling for a new world order. Last night in Washington, D.C., members of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other various Democratic groups took an effigy of President Trump and they placed it in a guillotine for beheading. Vice President candidate Kamala Harris says that these riots are not going to stop even after Election Day. Does all this seem like business as usual to you? If it does, you're either unsaved or you're so backslidden that you can't see that prophecy is being fulfilled before your very eyes. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at the warp speed in which we are being thrust forward into the obvious fulfillment of what the Bible calls the last days. Of this, there can be no doubt, no debate, no discussion. We are absolutely in the last days. Will America survive its current crisis? Will Emmanuel Macron get his wish to form a 10-nation confederacy in Europe? Is the Roman Empire reviving? We're going to talk about all these things today, and we're going to see if we can answer these and more questions that we have. It's a dangerous world that we live in, but for the Bible believer, it's an exciting time to be alive. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing on today's program. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for all these that You've gathered, Lord, in the chat room and people who are listening live around the world. We thank You for all those who will be listening to this in the NTEB archives and on YouTube and Spreaker and Sermon Audio. And we just rejoice, Father, that You've given us this time. You've given us this global platform. And for the last 11 years, You've raised up Now the End Begins, and You've made us big and strong and powerful. And we're here to do Your will, O God. And we're here to revive the saints. And we're here to warn a lost and dying world of impending judgment. And we thank You, Father. We thank You for every good and perfect gift that You give us. We thank You for every good thing that You put on our plates. We thank You for the reproof, the rebuke, the correction, the provision, the protection. We thank You for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, and the roof over our head. We thank You for it all, Father God. And we commit this time to You. And if there's a person here, Lord, who's lost, we just pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost person to You. Because even in these end times, there is still good news. And we thank You and praise You, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome everybody to this Friday edition. As you can probably tell, I'm all fired up. And I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to talk about some hard things today. Because the world is literally on fire. America is literally, not metaphorically, not spiritually, America is literally burning. And we're going to show you that today. And we're going to play some clips that's going to contain some rough language. And I apologize that you're going to have to hear it. And some of the language, it's profane and it's not savory and it's certainly not biblical. But you need to hear these things with your own ears. Sometimes that's the only way that you can truly understand what's going on. I can tell you about it, but when you hear it for yourself, it makes a huge, huge difference. Now, before we get into all of that, I want to give a shout out today. In the prayer that we just prayed at the start of this program, it was basically a prayer of thankfulness. And I am very, very thankful. I'm sitting here in the new NTEB studios right now that we've been building for the last. We've been building them all of June, all of July, August is almost over. Today's August 28th. August is almost done. But as I sit here in this beautiful new studio that God has provided, people say to me, they say, what do you do with the money that people donate? Well, the main thing that we've done with the money that people donate is we built this studio. And this is truly a state-of-the-art recording studio, design studio. It is where Now the End Begins lives, side by side with Mudflower Media, which is my, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. Mudflower Media is my graphic design business, and that is my tent making. And this new studio that we've created, it's the Mudflower Studio, and it is home to the NTEB podcasting studio. And I'm sitting here today, and we just got the, I don't know if I told you last time, but my buddy Andy, and he's one of my main go-to people, and we have lunch together about once a week, and he's just become a really, really good friend and a good Christian brother, and we have some of the most amazing Bible study lunches that you could, we talk about everything. And a couple of weeks ago, he stopped by with his son Teddy, and he surprised me with this gift, and I want to put a picture of it into the chat room, and I want you to see. He had two neon lights made for the studio. One says On the Air, and you can see it glows red and white, and it's beautiful. And the other one says it's our NTEB logo with the blue B. And that picture is him and his son Teddy on the day that they dropped those lights off. Now I want to show you a picture. My pastor, who was also a very good friend of mine, and he is an excellent handyman, and he stopped by yesterday, and he installed it took about 4.5 hours, and he installed these lights up on the wall, and I want to put a picture to show you guys. I mean, this progress is just so exciting to me. Now, take a look at those pictures, and there's the neon lights up on the wall, and it was a gift from my buddy Andy, which, again, it just floored me. It just blew me away. So the studio, for all intents and purposes, that was one of the very last things that we needed to get done. The absolute last thing will be a paddle fan in the ceiling to keep the air moving. But I'm sitting here in this beautiful new studio that has been provided through the provision of God, working through God's people. And when you give to this ministry, we do stuff with that money. We send out hundreds of free Bibles to people all around the world, and hundreds of boxes of free gospel tracts all around the world, because you guys make it possible. I'm sitting in a studio that, because people gave and told me, here's a check, go make this studio. You people support this ministry to the degree in which that we can do it on a real professional level. So I want to thank you guys. I want to thank everybody who listens to this program. I am overwhelmed with gratitude for you, with the love and support that you give me in this ministry, with the financial support so we can do this. This stuff is very expensive. I would estimate that to create this studio was just around $60,000. That's how much it costs to build a professional recording studio in a decent sized space. So I want to thank everybody who has donated. I want to thank people like Rick from Fort Lauderdale, who gave a very special gift a couple of months ago. And I want to thank everybody who is associated with this ministry, people who pray for us, people who donate, people who share our links, people who, like you guys, you come to the podcast and the Bible studies 4 days a week, and you spend hours here learning the Bible. And I want to thank my pastor, Pastor Daniel, and my buddy Andy. I want to thank Harmon. Harmon over in Tennessee, and he maintains the sermon audio page, and he's been doing that on his own at his own expense for years now. And Harmon is an amazing blessing to me. I want to thank my friends Tim and Beth over in Lake City, and they are just a personal encouragement. They are great friends of mine. They supply us with things that we need to get this, to get the Bible thing going. And, they are just such a huge blessing. I want to thank Lori C. and Jeanette for, reposting the stories and posting Bible verses and the notes at the end of the program and all those things. And Lori C. and Jeanette, they do a great job, a great job. I want to thank Lori D. and Pam for constantly feeding me news stories, and Lewis out in California, and Peter over in Washington. And there are just so many people that help to keep this ministry going and on the air. And, you know, I work here in this studio by myself, and most days it's just me physically here. But today, it just really dawned on me how large of a group that God has assembled for Now the End Begins that helped me to do this job, and without which I couldn't do it. It wouldn't be possible. So I thank all of you, and I'm sitting here in this studio with tears in my eyes. This has been my dream for years, to build this studio, and it just wasn't possible. It didn't happen, and we tried a couple of years ago, and the financial situation got crazy, and we had a space, and it was hit by two hurricanes back to back in a 12-month period, and it was discouraging, and I thought that this would never happen. And yet, here I am, sitting in this studio, talking to you guys, and praising God for His goodness. Jeremiah 33:3 says this: "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I am sitting in the midst of a great and mighty thing. This ministry is a great and mighty thing. And as a church family, we just give all the honor and the glory and the praise to Jesus Christ for making this possible, for raising this up, for giving us a voice in the end times, and putting us on the front lines to get something done for His name in these last days. And I'm just on fire, and I'm excited. God is good. And again, I thank all of you for being a part of this. All right, let's get right into this program today. I woke up this morning, and I woke up mad. And one of the reasons why I woke up mad is because what's happening in Washington, D.C. Last night was the last night of the Republican National Convention, and the Democrats rioted in Washington, and they did something last night that was absolutely disgusting, something that if a Republican or a conservative had done this about a liberal or a Democrat, the mainstream media would be calling for the imprisonment of that person. What they did last night, the Democrats, and I'll say Democrats, because they certainly weren't conservatives or Republicans who did this, But last night, what they did was so disgusting that it is just unbelievable that it even could have taken place. But it is 10 times as bad when you realize that what I'm about to tell you, you will not hear on any mainstream media outlet, except for maybe Fox News or the Daily Caller. You will not hear what I'm about to say on MSNBC, CNN, NPR, ABC, CBS, NBC. You won't hear it anywhere. And yet what happened was so over the top and so disgusting that it doesn't even feel like I'm living in America anymore. Now take a look at this. There you have a effigy of Donald Trump, and he is under a guillotine, and they are preparing to cut his head off. And that's exactly what was plastered all over Twitter last night. And the Democrats were smiling from ear to ear, and they couldn't be happier. They couldn't be more excited. And what were they doing? They were calling for the beheading death of a sitting American president. And they made the effigy, they made the guillotine, they made all the stuff, and they stood around it, and they took pictures, and they took selfies, and they laughed, and they joked, and it was just the greatest possible thing. Here it is from a different angle. Take a look at that. I want you to take a look at that. There is the effigy of Donald Trump, and they're taking pictures. I need coffee. There is the effigy of Donald Trump, and he is under the guillotine, and they are laughing, and they are joking, and they're doing something a little bit worse than that. All right? I want to play this clip for you. And again, it's not that I apologize, because obviously if I apologize and then go ahead and do it, I obviously mean to do it. But I'm sorry that you have to hear the language that you're going to hear in this clip, but I really feel that you need to hear it. And then you're going to hear at the very end of this clip, you're going to hear Vice President Kamala Harris say something that will send a cold chill down your spine. So here is it's only a 56 second clip. It's from the riots last night, and the video part of it shows you the effigy of President Trump in the guillotine. Take a listen to this. They're shouting, "Off with his head." They're standing in front of the guillotine.
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
That was the voice of Kamala Harris. She was on the Stephen Colbert show back in June when she said that. And she was warning us. She was telling us what was coming. And people didn't really believe her. That was only 2 months ago. But man, oh man, how much time has gone by in the 8 weeks since she made that comment on the Colbert show. And she said, it's coming. And not only that, the part that should send a cold chill down your spine is she says that not only is it coming, it should be coming. And she, if that woman becomes the Vice President of the United States, she has already told you that she is 100% in favor of the anarchy that's happening out in the streets. Now, she made that comment back in June, about 7 or 8 weeks ago. The first part of the clip took place from last night. And I want you to imagine a world in which the Democratic-controlled progressive left can raise up people like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and those were the people who made the effigy, those were the people who made the guillotine, those were the people who put the effigy in the guillotine and shouted all those disgusting things and called for the assassination of a sitting United States president outside of the White House at the exact moment that he was accepting the nomination. And then you have Kamala Harris saying, get ready, because more is coming, and it should be coming. And that woman, if they win, obviously Joe Biden can't keep a straight thought in his head. He is absolutely suffering from early onset dementia. He will be removed in a matter of months if he is elected as president. And that woman, Kamala Harris, who you just heard her say, be prepared, the riots are coming, the fires are coming, be prepared, get ready. She's promising you what's coming. And last night was a sample of what you can expect. Now, we are approximately 2 months and a week, 2 months and 2 weeks away from the election. And with each passing day, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So I would advise you, begin to take preparations now to protect yourself. Be very aware when you stop at a red light, any red light. If you come across the protests and people have blocked the streets, slow your car down, but don't stop it. Don't get out of your car. And I see videos every single day of these animals. They have guns now. They have pipes and bricks and bats and rocks. What's happening in Kenosha right now? They're attacking the police. And I saw a video just yesterday where a cop was going to get back into his car and one of the rioters threw a hubcap at the cop's head and knocked him unconscious. And the cops didn't do anything. The police aren't responding because the police are being told to stand down. And as we get closer and closer to the election, you are going to see more rioting, more looting, more burning. And you have to assume the negative from this point on. Do not assume that strangers that you meet in the street do not mean you ill intentions if it's within the context of any type of protests or rioting, anybody carrying a sign, anybody who looks like they are in any way connected with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. You need to protect yourself, especially if you're a woman, especially if you're a young person, if you're a child, if you're an elderly person, you need to stay away from these areas. Stay away from major cities. Because I am telling you that what you saw last night, if you watched the RNC, if you watched any of that, now, the actual RNC was pretty good. And when Trump made his speech and they did all that stuff, that was actually very impressive. It looked beautiful. Whoever designed that, they did a fantastic job. But man, oh man, just blocks away while that was happening, an effigy of Donald Trump was being put into a guillotine while people stood around and shouted all those things. And I'm telling you, trust me, believe me when I tell you, that these things are going to increase on a daily basis between now and the election in November. Stay away from major cities. If you can leave, leave. But riots that are going to be much bigger than what we've already seen are coming. and there's going to be more rapes and more looting and more burning and more murders. We are getting close to the number of dead people from these riots is getting, it's just under 20 people at this point. And they don't talk about that. They won't talk about that. They'll talk about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, but they won't mention David Dorn. They won't mention that 5-year-old boy who was shot in the head by the 27-year-old black guy. They won't mention any of that. And just a few minutes before showtime today, a friend of mine asked me if I had heard about the two white people who were driving a car, and they were rear-ended by a black guy who, when they got out to see the damage, the black guy shot them in the head. And I didn't even have time to research that story. There is so much happening. But this is the climate that we live in. Now, why is this climate rising? Why did they depict the effigy of Donald Trump in a guillotine? Why were they showing you their desire to behead the President of the United States? I'll tell you why. Because in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, we read this. Revelation 20, 1 through 4. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, this is why they put Donald Trump in a guillotine last night. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. These are tribulation saints. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, this obviously takes place at a time that we're not going to be a part of. Okay? We're not going to be here for the tribulation. But I wanted to show you in Revelation 20 verse 4 the method of execution that Antichrist is going to order for everybody who refuses to take the mark of the beast is beheading. The guillotine is the preferred method of execution for Antichrist. Now, what does that have to do with the RNC last night? What does that have to do with the rising tide of evil and wickedness in this country? What does that have to do with any of these things? Because the spirit that caused these riots is not a spirit of justice. It is not a spirit of ending police brutality. If you think that Black Lives Matter has anything to do with racial injustice or ending police brutality, there's something wrong with your brain. Only a moron would think that at this point, after all the damage and the murders and the rapes and the burning and the looting and $250 million worth of damage to black-owned and minority-owned businesses, you would think that by this point, people would begin to realize that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. And if you think that Antifa has any sort of a desire to end fascism, you are insane. You are certifiably insane because they are a fascist organization. That's what they exist to do. And Antifa was started in Nazi Germany in 1933. And the roots of Antifa go all the way back to Nazi Germany. Now, I want you to take a look at this picture that I'm going to put into the chat room right now. And all you have to do to find any of these pictures is just Google. But take a look at this picture. It's an official Antifa piece of marketing. And you see Donald Trump down at the bottom. You see the words, make the guillotine red again. And then you see the Antifa logo again, which comes from Nazi Germany, 1933. That's where Antifa was created. So what do you see here? You see their desire to execute Donald Trump. And I have been beating around the bush for the past couple of weeks talking about this. Every time that I get right up to talking about it, I just can't bring myself to say the words, because I can't believe that this is where we are. But this is where we are. Like it or not, they are going to kill the president. I don't know if they'll be successful, but I am telling you that every fiber of my being feels that Donald Trump is in the crosshairs right now. And I believe that they're going to kill Donald Trump. And I pray that it's not true. I pray for his salvation. I pray for his safety. And before this program is done, we're all going to pray for the president, that this does not come upon him. But man, oh man, it is getting worse and worse and worse with each passing day. And you have groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter calling for the beheading of Donald Trump outside of the White House while he is being nominated as the Republican candidate for president. This happened last night. So you guys need to wake up. Most of you, now I'm not talking to my hardcore audience who's here for every show, every time. You guys know exactly what's going on, and I thank God that we are all going through this together as a church family. But I'm talking to the rest of you who, you're busy with your lives, you really don't have much time to pay attention to news and politics, and these things don't really interest you. Well, they better interest you, because these things are about to come to your doorstep. And so, look, I'm warning you guys, stay away from major cities. Starting when? Starting today. Stay away. And in the last week before the election, even if you live in a major city, if you can, get out. Because this is, look, they've already shown us. They have already shown us from their actions what they plan on doing. And these riots have been going on almost as long as the coronavirus has been going on. Do you remember when they said just a 15-day window to flatten the curve? I think we're on what? Day 175. If somebody listening right now is really good at math, go back to March 18th and go all the way up to right now and tell me how many days have gone by since March 18th. Because that's the number of days that the 15-day window was supposed to accomplish. So, I'm warning you guys, stay away from major cities. Now, on the flip side of that coin, remember, we are soldiers. We don't run. I'm not telling you to run away. I am telling you to take preparations so that you don't get caught by surprise. Because look, there's a lot of us who like to see the best in people. And I know I have friends that if they were stopped at a traffic light and they were watching the Black Lives Matter protesters walk by, they wouldn't feel like their life was in danger. Those days are over. Your life is in danger. Don't roll down your windows. Don't get out of your car. And whatever you do, especially if you're a woman or an elderly person or you're by yourself, do not stop your car. Go slow. You don't want to run them over. But Do not stop your car. Do not stop your vehicle. And whatever you do, do not get out of your car. Now, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That's what you and I are. So, while you are taking preparations to prepare for what's coming, I want you to stock your pockets with gospel tracts. If you can't afford them, we will send them to you at no charge. Just send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. We've been sending out a lot of Bibles lately, and I love that. And of course, we send the Bibles out free of charge. If you want a excellent King James Study Bible and you can't afford one, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com and we'll send you one for free. There's no tricks. There's no gimmicks. You're not put on a mailing list. You don't even have to pay for the shipping. It's a $25 Bible. But because God's people give, we're able to have these things, and we send them out. We pay for the Bible. We pay for the postage. And all we want is for you to have the Word of God in your hand in the best form that you can study with. So please email me if you can't afford gospel tracts or a study Bible. Email me, and we're going to send it out to you completely free, no strings attached. But 2 Timothy 2:4-3, Paul says that we are soldiers. Revelation 19, verse 14, says this at the second coming. Revelation 19, well, actually, let's start in verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now here is our part. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. What do you need if you want to have an army? What do you need? You need soldiers. The Apostle Paul has already told you that he has chosen you and called you to be a soldier. We sing that song in Sunday school, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War. And that is exactly what we are here to do. So my call to you today, it is not a call of panic or fear, because the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. I am not calling you to fear. I am not calling you to be afraid. I am not calling you to run away. I am calling you to run into the battle. But I want you to be aware that you don't get sucker punched, that you don't get clubbed over the head at a red light. Now, if in the process of sharing the gospel, you take a hit, then that's just the way it goes. And when we started our street preaching ministry 8 years ago, and we preached the gospel on St. George Street in downtown St. Augustine, we've handed out over 1 million gospel tracts in that time. We've seen dozens of people pray to get saved right on the streets. But when you preach on the streets, you come across all sorts of people. You come across people with guns and knives, people who just came out of the bar, and they're angry, and they're drunk, and whatever the case may be. You know, you'll see five good people, and then you'll see one questionable person. And in the times that we have been preaching on the streets and handing out those million gospel tracts, and it's probably much more than that, but it's definitely at least a million. During the time that we've done that, I have had people spit on us. I've had people spit on me. I have had people take switchblades out of their pockets and threaten us to get off of their street because the preaching of the gospel made them mad. Now, fortunately, the people that God has given me over the years to preach on the streets with me are really good, really strong people. And most of them are ex-military, Air Force, Marines, Army, Navy, and they are a tough group of guys. And but we didn't have one single fight the entire time that we've been out on the streets, even though we have had some pretty scary stare downs, including that time when that man took a switchblade out of his pocket and threatened us and told us to stop preaching and get off the streets. We didn't stop preaching. We didn't get off the streets, and the Spirit of God protected us and kept us safe. But what I'm telling you is that when you step into the battle, that's where the bullets are. Now, hear it now, the end begins. What do we say? We say that we are the front lines of the end times. And we are. Because we are one of the last groups of people. We're King James only, rightly dividing, dispensationally correct. And we are handing out the gospel. We are preaching. We are teaching. We are trying to get something done. And the bullets are flying. And that's exactly what you would expect to see if you were on the front lines of a battle. So, when that comes, you have to be prayed up and you have to be ready for it. And I'm not talking about running away. I'm talking about taking a strategic shift so you don't get clubbed over the head, so you don't get shot, so you don't get stabbed, so you don't get surprised at a traffic light. But what I am talking about is I am talking about running into the battle, not, now, I can't stress this next part enough. I am not calling you to defend the honor of America. I am not calling you to defend the Republican Party. I'm not even calling you to defend President Trump. He has the military, he's the commander-in-chief, he has the Secret Service, he has it all. Now, can they still get to him? Absolutely. It would have to be an inside job, but that's how they got Kennedy. Kennedy was an inside job. Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy. He didn't kill Kennedy. It was an inside job. And could they do the same thing to Donald Trump? What? You don't think Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and Schiff and all of those evil, evil, nasty, demonic people, you don't think they're talking about that? You don't think they're planning that? You're insane if you don't think they're absolutely planning that. Now, how far will they get? We have no idea. But do I think that they're... If you go to the farthest back room that they have, has it been discussed? You can guarantee that it's been discussed. But look, I'm not calling you to stand up against Democrats. I'm not calling you to stand up as a conservative or to stand up for the Republican Party. That's a waste of time. Don't get sucked into it. Don't be involved with that. But what I'm calling you to do, Christian, is to stand up for Jesus Christ and to witness to a lost and dying world that their end is coming soon and that Antichrist is getting ready to make an appearance on the scene and tell them about Flight 777 of the pre-tribulation rapture. Tell them that the only way to get your ticket is you've got to be born again. You can't buy it. It's already been purchased. All you can do is receive it. That's what you've got to tell them. So that's the battle that I'm calling you guys to. And here, I'm all fired up and I don't feel like taking a break, but I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this because this is exactly what I'm talking about. And I want you to be inspired today. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready for the battle that's coming, and I want you to be able to witness for Jesus Christ and to win souls as you do it. Because that's why we're here. Now the End Begins is not a political organization. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I voted for Trump in 2016. If we have an election, I'll vote for him in November. I advise everybody to vote. Do not stay on the sidelines. We are still Americans. We still have to live in this country. And so I'm going to use my power to vote to try to create a climate that's going to be as friendly to me as possible. I am not voting. And I strongly urge all of you to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm not shy. I'm voting for Trump. I have no qualms about that of any kind. But I want to play this clip for you because I want you to wrap your head around the battle that we're really in and that we are not called to run away. We are called to run into the fight. All of the apostles, Peter, James, John, Paul, Matthew, all of them ran into the fight. They wound up paying a very, very steep price. But that's the price that we're called to pay. So I want to play this clip, and I want you to consider what it is that we're called to do, because we need to get focused now before the battle is outside of our window, before things get so crazy that it's you can't figure stuff out in the heat of the battle. That's why soldiers train. That's why they prepare. That's why they have military training exercises, so that when the bullets start flying, your training kicks in. And that is what gets you through. Because believe me, when we get to the election and every major city in America is on fire and there is blood running in the streets, that's not going to be a time for you to figure out what to do. We've got to figure that out right now, right here, right now. So listen to this clip and let it inspire you.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me, ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic at the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. This is not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York. As people were fleeing from a crumbling building, there were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in the falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for his personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God! Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run! Run!
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And Jacob called his sons together, and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. That's where we are right now. And the battle is here. I've been saved for 29 years. I have been preparing for this battle for 3 decades, and it's here, and it's here right now. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would make every single one of us a Christian soldier. And as the preacher just preached in that message, let us be of the number who run into the battle, not away from the battle. Let us rise above politics and focus on your kingdom, Lord. And you're coming to get us soon. And I see so many people in the chat room talking about the day when you split that sky open. And man, oh man, do we look forward to that day. And as we wait, fill our hands with work to do. Let us go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, that your house may be full, that we don't shrink from the fight. And give us the resources that we need to do it. And let us stand boldly against the rising spirit of Antichrist as we wait for Flight 777 to take off. And Lord, I just pray that you raise up an NTEB army of people to go out into those highways and byways and to preach the gospel and to share the gospel and to boldly stand up and tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. That's my prayer, Father God. And keep us safe while we do it. So this is where we are, people. This is what the battle is. It's happening. And it's real, and you need to get ready, and you need to prepare. And as we get closer and closer and closer to the election, things are going to get worse and worse. But what a great time, and what a great opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And that's our battle. The Apostle Paul says this, that we don't fight a war in the flesh. Our call, our battle, is not to stand up and to get sticks and clubs and rocks and things of those nature. But we have been called to a spiritual battle. This is happening on a spiritual level. And that's where this battle is waged. And so when we go to the streets and when we fight in the streets, we are not physically fighting with people, but it is a spiritual battle, and we are there to stand up and to tell a lost and dying world about salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, how bad is this battle getting? How bad was it last night in Washington, D.C.? You would think, right, that if you were a congressman or a woman, or if you were a United States senator, that you really wouldn't have a problem with these people. But last night, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, he was attacked by a crazed mob of more than 100 people after leaving the White House, after he listened to President Trump's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. He tweeted, "Just got attacked by an angry mob of over 100, one block away from the White House." And he said, "Thank you to all the D.C. police." And now, he was with his wife. He was with his wife when they came after him. So listen to a couple minutes of Rand Paul talking about being attacked, him and his wife, by the angry mob just last night.
You can tell that man behind the mask is Rand Paul. A bunch of protesters descending on the Kentucky senator and his wife, Kelly, as they left the Senate, the president's RNC speech from the White House. Actually, it was a longer trip than that. He joins us right now for his first live interview since that confrontation. Senator, good morning. That looks scary.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, my wife and I, it was horrific. You know, we had two women with us who were friends of ours. We had looked out, you know, we came out of the speech
and
we looked into the street. Our hotel was only right across the street from the White House, but we couldn't go because the mob was already chasing people down that chose to go out that exit. So the Secret Service says, get on a bus and ride to the Trump Hotel. So we got on a bus. It took 45 minutes to get through all the mobs. We get there safely, and then we say we'll get an Uber to go all the way back where we came from, and we wanted to be dropped off at the hotel. But as we got close to it, the streets were blocked and no one would let us through. And what happened is there was two blocks, and I regret that I made this decision, but I said we're going to walk the two blocks. We walked one block, but as we walked one block, we could see some police in the distance, but we also saw a mob of about 30 people marching and yelling. They all of a sudden saw me right as we got to the policeman, fortunately, or I don't think we'd have survived. We got to the policeman, and the policeman I don't think recognized me, and as they came closer, they were shouting my name, and the crowd doubled to 60, and then it doubled again to 120. And as they were surrounding us, and it got closer and closer, and everybody kept pushing back, the policemen were forming a barricade with their bodies. I whispered to the policeman, "They know who I am. You've got to get reinforcements. It's going to get worse." He called for reinforcements, but but we didn't get any reinforcements. We waited, but the crowd was getting bigger and bigger and pushing in. They were yelling threats. They were trying to push the police over to get to me. They were grabbing at us. And it got worse and worse and worse. And then finally we decided to make a move. I said, we've got to move. If there's not going to be reinforcements, we have to try to get to the hotel, which was another block. And they were shouting threats, you know, to us, to kill us, to hurt us. But they're also shouting, say her name, Breonna Taylor. And it's like, you couldn't reason with this mob, but I'm actually the author of the Breonna Taylor law to end no-knock raids. So the irony is lost on these idiots that they're trying to kill the person who's actually trying to get rid of no-knock raids. And they were shouting and screaming and just, it really, these people were unhinged. But I can't tell you how, I'm not sure we would have made it. So as we're walking, sort of surrounded by the police, they're attempting to push the police over to get to me. So at one point, they push a policeman backwards. He stumbles, and he's trying to catch his balance, and I catch the back of his flak jacket to stabilize him and, you know, make sure that he's okay because he's our defense. I mean, if he's down, the mob's loose on us. And you've seen the pictures of what they do to you. If the police are not there, if you defund the police, if we become Portland, if America becomes Portland, what's going to happen is people are going to be pummeled and kicked in the head and left senseless on the curb. That would have happened to us. I promise you, had we not had the D.C. police to support us, I mean, we are thankful that we have police.
Right.
And we've got to wake up. We can't have the whole country. We can't have Joe Biden rule the country and have no police. I mean, We can't walk down the street.
So let me just stop Rand Paul right there. Do you hear what the senator just told you? He is a United States senator, and he is in. He had a phalanx of policemen escorting him to where he had to go, and even within the fact that he was cordoned off with a group of armed policemen, getting to his destination was still not a guaranteed thing. Now, I want you to think of yourself in that position. I want you to think of yourself in whatever city that you live in, whatever town that you live in, whether it's in Portland or Seattle, or you live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Detroit, Chicago, New York City, wherever you find liberals, okay? I want you to think of yourself in Rand Paul's position. But because you're not Rand Paul, because you're not a United States senator, you're not going to have a dozen police officers trying to escort you safely to your destination. It's just going to be you. Now, you heard his own testimony. I put pictures into the chat room. Some of you have already seen the videos. If Rand Paul almost can't make it, what's going to happen to you with no protection? This is what you've got to start thinking about right now.
D.C. safely now. That's how bad it is.
I saw one police officer was actually using his bicycle to keep the crowd back. He fell into you. You almost stumbled and fell down. You and your wife are both okay, right?
We are. We were unharmed, but, you know, it's still going on this morning. There's still mobs in the street blocking the streets. And I know it sounds like over the top to say that people are from out of town, but I think we're going to find out that these people are hired and from out of town. Specifically in our case, I believe there are going to be people who were involved with the attack on us that actually were paid to come here, are not from Washington, D.C., and are sort of paid to be anarchists.
Yeah.
So let me stop him again right there. Did you hear what Rand Paul just said? He said that there are people who are being paid. They are not from Washington. Now, I have seen those people with my own eyes. Here in St. Augustine, every year in December, November, we have what's called our Knights of Lights. And it's the start of the holiday season. We have a tree lighting, and the entire town gets together, and there's a lot of tourists, and we probably won't even have it this year with all this COVID stupidity. But last year, we had 15,000 people who came out to watch the Christmas tree get lit and to drink hot chocolate and to sing Christmas carols. 15,000 people last year. National Geographic has named St. Augustine as one of the 10 best light shows for the holiday season in the world. So, with each passing year, it gets bigger and bigger. Starting 3 years ago, the people showed up on the buses, and they were bused in from out of town. And with each pass, the first year, there was about 50 of them. The second year, there was about 100 of them. Last year, there was four different buses. There was over 200 people that came to my town, and I watched them get off the bus. I watched them. I looked into their eyes. So I'm telling you, I have seen what Rand Paul is talking about, and I didn't recognize a single one of these people. They were all out-of-town agitators, and when I investigated with the police, they were all from Black Lives Matter, and they formed a ring around the Christmas tree and shouting KKK, America, death to the United States. So I have seen these people with my own eyes. And last night, the same people were bussed in out of town to Washington, D.C., and they are so powerful that even a United States senator with a police escort is still not quite sure if he's going to get to his destination. Now, again, I ask you, how would you do without the police, without the escort, but surrounded by 100 people? What do you think your chances of success are going to be? Now, I want you to think about that.
This is disturbing because, really, if you're inciting a riot, that's a crime. But if you're paying someone to incite a riot, that person needs to go to jail as well. But we can't live this way. It's getting worse and worse. You know, I like being free to be able to walk out and go for a walk in the park. We cannot go outside now. It's become so dangerous for us. And I don't hear Joe Biden or Kamala Harris saying one thing about the violence. Yeah. This mob is their voters. This is the new Democrat Party. And if we don't resist this, United States is going to become Portland. We're going to become Chicago. All of these failed cities Democrats have run, the president said it in his speech. If we allow them to take over the White House, we are going to become Portland. The country will be on fire. We have to have law and order, and we have to support the police. You know, I can't say that strong enough.
Senator, some of the papers today are reporting that what was being yelled at you was, as you said, say her name, Breonna Taylor. You know, you said there were obscenities. I would not like you to repeat those. But you said there were threats. Tell us what the threats were.
Well, the threats were to F you up, to kill you. The threats were, if they could get hold of you, and I truly believe this with every fiber of my being, had they gotten at us, they would have gotten us to the ground. We might not have been killed. We might just have been injured by being kicked in the head or kicked in the stomach until we were senseless. You've seen the pictures. Most of the networks will not show the pictures of this. This is happening in all of our cities. It's got to stop. And thank God for the police. Had we not gotten to the police, I truly believe that the police saved our lives, and we would not be here today, or we'd be in a hospital today had the police not been there. And I'd like to thank them if they're watching this. We thanked them last night, but it was still a melee. They were still trying to get people, away from us. Even in the hotel, people were following us into the hotel.
Well, let me ask you this as an exit question. Given the fact that you said that these people are still on the streets, protesters are still on the street, and we heard from Griff Jenkins about a half an hour ago that apparently a number of the businesses in Washington, D.C. are boarded up because they're worried about trouble going forward. Does a prominent Republican like yourself, somebody who is very recognizable, need to have security to simply walk on the streets of Washington, D.C. or major cities in America?
Probably yes, from now on. I don't feel it at home. At home, people are so friendly. I can go to the grocery store, and I want to live, the life of a normal person where I go to the grocery store and buy groceries or stop at the Minute Mart. And at home, I do feel that. But this also isn't normal. There's something going on here. This is like the FBI needs to be involved.
What do you,
what
do you mean something's going on?
I'll stop him again right there. Did you hear what Rand Paul just said? he's struggling to... Now, Rand Paul is a very, very, very smart individual. He's a PhD. He's a medical doctor. Rand Paul, like his father, Ron Paul, they are very intelligent people. But did you hear his voice? It's like he's trying to wrap his head around what's happening. And what he just said was, there's something going on here. Things aren't right. Things aren't normal. And he's exactly right. He just doesn't know why he's right. It is the rising spirit of Antichrist. That is what we saw on display last night at the RNC. That is what we've been watching every single time you see you turn on the news, you go to YouTube or Twitter, and you see a video clip of things being burnt and people being raped and killed and stores being burned and looted. This is not anarchy. This is Antichrist. And I have been telling you guys for months that I believe that the man of sin is Emmanuel Macron, and we'll be talking about him in just a minute. But if Antichrist is ready to step out and the man of sin is about to be revealed, then his spirit, that nasty, dirty, disgusting, sooty spirit, is already gone before him to prepare people to receive him. And just like John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist prepared people to receive the actual Messiah, Jesus the Christ, I submit to you right here, right now, 1:12 Eastern Standard Time, August 28th, 2020, I submit to you that the spirit of Antichrist is preparing people to receive the man of sin. And that is why we are seeing the crazy things that we are seeing. But let's finish this clip with Rand Paul talking about that he can't understand why all that something weird is happening. And you heard Peter Doocy say, "What do you mean something strange, something weird?" Let's listen to how this clip winds up.
Senator, what do you mean something's going on? You've got a feeling. Tell us what you think.
My feeling is that there is interstate criminal traffic being paid for across state lines, but you won't know it unless you arrest them. Otherwise, you just think, oh, these are the, you know, some normal hoodlums from a big city. I promise you that at least some of the members and the people who attacked us were not from D.C. They flew here in a plane. They've all got fresh new clothes, and they were paid to be here. It is a crime to do that, and it needs to be traced. The FBI needs to investigate, but the only way you can do it is you have to arrest people. And usually we say, oh, well, you didn't get hurt, so we're not going to arrest them. They were inciting a riot, and they would have killed us had the police not been there. They all need to be arrested, and I'm not saying forever, but they need to be arrested, questioned. They need to say, where are you staying? And the bills need to be subpoenaed by a judge to say, who paid for your bill? How did you get here on a plane and staying in a fancy hotel, and yet you're acting like a criminal? Something's going on here, and it's much bigger than people think. But the bottom line is, we can't let the United States become Portland. And that's what my fear is, that the United States is going to be on fire if we have no police.
So that's Ron Paul on Fox News this morning. And I just put a link into the chat room, and you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and read this story for yourself. It's time to open your eyes to the fact that the spirit of Antichrist is now here, and that we are at war whether you want to be or not. And in that article, I make the case that the spirit of Antichrist is not coming. Somebody in the chat room said a little while ago that it feels like civil war is coming. And she was very correct. But my comment back in the chat room was, civil war is not coming, dot, dot, dot. Civil war is here. And these strange things that we're seeing, these unprecedented things. Now, we've been talking today about what's going on in America, but these scenes are repeating themselves all over the world. This is not an America-only situation, but since America is the biggest, most prosperous, strongest country on the face of the earth, since America stands behind Israel and the Jewish people, since America is the last best hope for freedom, then it makes sense that America has to be toppled in order for Antichrist to rise. And that's what we're seeing. Now, I want you to listen to this clip. And the first 25 seconds of it, it's a very short clip, and the first 25 seconds of this clip is going to seem like it's nothing but shouting. And it does sound like a lot of shouting, absolutely true. But this was from a story that we did the other day where a group of about 30 or 40 people from Black Lives Matter in Washington, D.C., they went to a local diner and they began to protest and scream and shout at the people who were sitting there just trying to eat their food. And again, you've got to think about what you would do if the next restaurant that you're having a meal at or a cup of coffee and these people are suddenly in front of your table screaming what you're about to hear. Again, I want you to begin to mentally prepare yourself because that day is coming, and it's coming for you and it's coming for me, and it's not years away. It's going to be happening in the next couple of months, the next couple of weeks. And just like you heard Rand Paul say, that even with a security force of armed policemen, he barely got to his hotel room safely. And you heard him say that without that, he feels he would have been badly beaten or killed. And the fact that his wife was with him didn't stop these animals or slow them down even one tiny bit. So I want you to listen to this clip. It's only 32 seconds long. And I want it's all what you're going to hear is what this group of Black Lives Matter shouted at this one woman. All right, these people from Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they travel in packs because they are stinking, pathetic cowards. They are some of the most cowardly people that you, just like the KKK, and they put on masks and they burn crosses. The KKK is a disgusting group of people, and Black Lives Matter and Antifa are equally disgusting, if not worse. They are cowards. They are absolute pathetic cowards. And this is what they shouted at a woman trying to eat her lunch at a Washington diner just 3 days ago. But I want you to pay very close attention to the last 5 seconds of this clip to see if you can hear what they say.
And look, I've been for reform.
Sorry, wrong clip. Listen. Now, you heard them shout at her, "Are you a Christian?" with the same tone of voice that somebody would say, "Are you a bank robber?" when Joe Biden turned to that black journalist and said, "Are you a junkie?" What if somebody was screaming, "Are you a pedophile?" That's exactly the same tone of voice that they had when they screamed at this woman and demanded to know, "Are you a Christian?" Now, she was not, I don't think she is. I don't know much about her. She just sat there and did nothing. And you know what? She's a woman by herself. Maybe that's all that she could do. She was probably terrified, and rightly so. But I want you to think about what you would do, Christian, if that happened to you. I'm already prepared. I am prepared if and when I come across these people. You better believe that I'm going to do some preaching. And if they get in my face and they shout, "Are you a Christian?" they're going to get the gospel back. And believe me, I have a voice with a level that can go higher. It's, you would need a lot more than 20 or 30 people to drown me out. After 8 years of preaching on the streets, I can remember the very first day I ever preached on the streets, March 24th of 2012. I was on St. George Street. I was all by myself. I hadn't formed a group or anything. I was just being faithful to what the Lord called me to do. And I was on the street corner of Hippolyta and St. George Streets, and it was filled with tourists. There was thousands of people on the streets, and here I am preaching, and then I hear this noise behind me, like a parade, and I turn around, and it was about 200 Buddhists and Hindus and Baha'i and the Hare Krishnas, and they were playing their tambourines, and they were waving these banners, and they were talking about Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. And I want you to, I mean, there was at least 150, possibly 200 of these people, and they were loud. They were really loud. And as they got closer and closer, I got a little bit louder and a little bit louder and a little bit louder. And when they passed by, and I'll believe it or not, they didn't stop what they were doing. I didn't stop what I was doing. And a couple of them actually took gospel tracts from me. But the point of what I'm saying is I did not back down. I did not step away. And my voice was able to keep up with the sound that 200 Hare Krishnas was making with tambourines and beating drums. And you could still hear me preaching. Now, that's the voice. God didn't give me a singing voice, but He absolutely gave me a preaching voice, and it can get very, very loud. So, I want you, that's what I'm going to do if they come to my restaurant. I am not going to be one of those deer in the headlights people who are terrified and just praying, "Oh God, make these people go away." Uh-uh. If that comes to my restaurant, I'm gonna stand up and I'm not going to get into a fight. I'm not going to start to have a political discussion. We're not going to talk about racism or injustice. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we're going to talk about. And I want you to prepare for that day for yourself. And should that time come when you are tested, if you are prayed up, if you're prepared, you're going to pass the test. And I want you to pass that test. I want you to be able to witness strongly and without fear. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The only piece of armor that is not mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 is something to cover your back, because we're not supposed to turn and run. We're supposed to stand and fight for the Lord. And the only way that you can do that is you have to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You have to know that you know that we are living in the end times, that you want to please Him who has called you to be a soldier. And I want you to be ready for the day of battle that is coming. As sure as I'm sitting here, it is coming. It is here. The Civil War is not coming. The Civil War has been raging for months now. And with each passing day, it gets worse and worse to the point where even a sitting senator of the United States Senate is not free to move around in the nation's capital and needs an armed guard to get him and his wife where they need to go safely. This is where we are. This isn't clickbait, as people accuse me of from time to time. This is not a sensationalized headline. This is our everyday waking reality. Rand Paul was in fear of his life, and he's a United States senator. And not only that, did you hear what he said? He said that he was the one that authored the bill that became law that gets rid of the no-knock things where the police can just open your door without knocking, which is how Breonna Taylor died. Rand Paul stood up and he said that that was injustice and he did something about it. Do you think they care? No, they don't care, because Black Lives Matter doesn't care about racism. Black Lives Matter doesn't care about injustice. They won't mention the name of David Dorn. David Dorn was the retired black police officer that Black Lives Matter soldiers murdered and laughed and kicked and stepped over his bleeding body after they assassinated him. You think Black Lives Matter cares about racism? You're a fool. Black Lives Matter uses racism as a weapon, and they are the useful idiots, as Stalin said and Lenin said. All regimes need useful idiots, a lot of them, an army of useful idiots, in order to carry out the goals of the regime. And Antifa and Black Lives Matter are the useful idiot soldiers in this end times army of Antichrist. Now, we're about out of time for today, and I really wanted to talk more about Emmanuel Macron, but guess what? The things that I did talk about, this is definitely what God wanted me to say today. And I want you guys to be prepared, and I want you guys to be ready for what's coming. And just like you heard Carter Conlin from the Times Square Church in that great sermon that he gave called Run, I want you to pray and be ready so that you can run into the battle. What do we say here at Now the End Begins? The war is real, the battle hot, and the time is short. To the fight. Not the fight with red and blue. Not the fight with conservative and liberal. Not the fight with politics. But the fight against darkness and spiritual wickedness. The Apostle Paul says that he fought a good fight. He finished his course and he kept the faith. Henceforth, he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that look for his appearing. And I want you to be one of those people. So let's finish with this quote from Emmanuel Macron that he put on Twitter moments before showtime today. Lori C. sent it to me, and it was just the cherry on top of the cake. Emmanuel Macron said, in all crises, an old world disappears and a new world appears. This crisis can be an opportunity. Our goal with the recovery plan, that France and Europe play their full part in the invention of the world after. Emmanuel Macron, he is the man that we say is the biblical man of sin. And he is talking just today about a new world order, and that his desire is that he is going to be the leader of that new world order. And all these things are happening at the same time. They're all connected, and you need to understand that. These aren't just a random convergence of coincidences that are all coming together at the same time. And this is one of the things that we try and do for you at Now the End Begins. We help you to see the entire picture the best we can, and to connect all the dots for you so that you can see it for yourself and so that you can be prepared. Now, let's finish the program by praying for our president, that God would keep him safe and that God would save him. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we know that we're in a battle, and we know that we're in the end times, and we pray for President Trump. Keep him safe, Lord. Don't let the enemy get him. Don't let them kill him. Last night, they made an effigy of him, and they put it into a guillotine, and they beheaded it, and they screamed and yelled and cried like people who are possessed by the devil, Lord, and truly they are. And we pray that you keep our president safe. He is the leader of the free world. And we ask for your blessing to be upon him, both physically and spiritually. Lord, I don't know if he's saved or not, but he has around him some very, very questionable people. Hardly a Bible believer in the whole bunch. I see nothing but Laodicean evangelicals and charismatics. And Father God, we pray for President Trump. Keep him safe. And if he's not saved, save his soul, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I told you that I was fired up today. And I want you to be fired up, too. I want you to be fired up so that when the battle comes to your door, you're going to be ready. And not just ready in a physical sense. I pray that you'll be safe, but I want you to be ready in a spiritual sense so that you can get something done for the Lord. Because when we go home on Flight 777, time will be up, and we'll be in a great place, but we're going to the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be rewarded on what we did for him in these last days. And I want you to have a good experience at the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to have many crowns because you, by faith, were willing to stand up and do something for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another edition of our Rightly Dividing Bible Study. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. Amen. Mm-hmm.